Welcome to Goose Talks. Today we are discussing the tendering opportunities in Serbia with Marko Jurikic from the Croatian Employers Association. Welcome, Marko. Good to have you.
Hi, Kaur. Great to be here. Let's do it. Let's do our podcast on Serbia.
Yeah. So about Serbia, how is their economy currently performing?
Well, it is a complicated topic, but the economy is still. Basically, they're still in the phase of underdevelopment. They're still not a really developed economy, but their growth is quite strong. So I think that they had only one blip of economic downturn in 2020 as the rest of the world, but it was really, really minimal, less than 1% decrease of GDP. And since then, they grew, of course, same as the rest of the world, around strong 7-8% in 2021. And since then, they are growing in the rate of 3.5-4, with prognosis of 2.5-3% in 2023 and 24, so basically stronger than the rest of the European Union, which they are trying to reach and to compete with. So rather strong, but still have a lot of ways in terms of reaching the real development stage and to really realize their potential that they have, and they certainly have it. They are still not part of European Union, as we know, as they are part of our Goose project, but they are basically surrounded by EU members from all sides, from Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Croatia, and in that sense, they are doing good business with all of these neighbors, while also being still quite close with eastern part of Europe and even with Russia, although relationships with Russia is in some sort of tension due to politics and the basically efforts of the EU to have Serbia on the side of European economies and European countries. But this is politics, and I would never touch and go deeper into that subject. But this relationship with Eastern Europe is also something that basically makes them in a good position of having economic relationships both with West and East. And this has strong impact on their economy as well. I would also maybe like to add that they have a good economic relationships with economies and countries from the Middle East, and they have large investments from Gulf states in airline companies, in real estate, in retail. So there are a couple of large real estate and construction and development projects in Belgrade itself, which are financed by the Gulf states, and basically it does influence the increase of economic activity in certain areas. What we can say is that at this moment, Belgrade is still the one, the focal point of those investments, and maybe some efforts are needed in other areas of Serbia as well. But this inflow of funds is quite strong. And well, maybe this is not the part of the question of the economy itself, but what is, in my view, important in terms of branding and positioning Serbia in geopolitical sense and on international arena is the fact that they won the position of host of Expo 2027. It's not a classical. The largest form of Expo, but Belgrade will be the center and host of Expo 2027, which will, I think, present them to the world on the large scale, especially in the industries and sectors that are modern, that are high tech, and that are in flow with all the basically the global buzzwords today and global trends.
As Goose has said, its focus on smart health, smart cities, green economy, and ICT. How are those sectors performing in Serbia currently?
Well, they're performing quite well, although the emphasis on them is not as high as it is within the EU, as Serbia still has some way to go to basically adopt all the EU regulations and policies and strategies. And this is why they are still not on the same level in terms of those sectors as the rest of the European Union and the rest of Europe. But these actors are quite strong, and they are moving forward, especially in terms of smart health and and at this moment, mostly as well, ICT. ICT is the strongest one because everything that you mentioned, basically, ICT is involved in all of those other sectors and industries, and they have some competitive advantages in that area as well, especially in terms of quality of workforce, quality of people, and the education system in the field of ICT, combined with basically competitive advantage in terms of salary and cost of labor, which is on one hand advantage for Serbia, but also is disadvantage because it is this price competitiveness means that people are not paid as much as in the West, which brings a high brain drain from Serbia towards EU and also abroad towards US and Gulf states as well in this sector. So basically they are experiencing what most of other newer EU countries experienced, what Croatia is experiencing is in last 10 years, even at this point in time. And the fear is that if they finally decide to work on entering EU, and if they do enter EU at one point in time, that this brain drain will be emphasized. So just to give you the idea of basically double-edged sword of having competitive salaries for higher added value experts in Serbia. So I think during our mission, we saw that out of the sectors that you mentioned, IT, ICT is the strongest one, and it's already developed and it's highly developing. While others are of interest, but they are not at this moment of such high priority as ICT. But ICT is pushing forward both green economy, both smart health, smart cities, because we know that it is basically intertwined. What is also, especially in terms of green economy, what they are pushing forward is waste management, water management, and so on, which fits into the green strategy and green transition in terms of environment and things like that.
Moving towards public procurement, do foreign SMEs engage in public procurement in Serbia, or is it viable for them to do so?
Well, it is viable, but what we've seen is that, I wouldn't say that it's contradiction, but there are some data that gives, well, basically different perspective on this issue. So what is very interesting, but what we saw is that when you look at public procurement, only 1% of public procurement is won by or given to foreign companies. So this is the first data that one can see when you look at the statistics. But as the devil is in details, this is not completely true in practical sense, because that means that that only means that 1% of the companies that win the public procurement projects are the companies that are not present or don't have their own office representative in Serbia. But for the foreign companies that have their offices in Serbia, they are not looked at as foreign companies, they are looked at Serbian companies. And those companies that are already on the ground, they are much, much more successful in participating in public procurement projects in Serbia. Which basically brings us to the I would say, common fact in the end that we saw in basically all of the territories that we visited and that we covered during the GUS project. And that is that if you want to participate in any public procurement in other country, in a third territory outside of the EU, the major thing that you need to do is find the local partner, be present, and get to know the location and people themselves. Don't just come in as a company that's stepping on the market for the first time with no knowledge, with no contacts, with no help from local experts. But find either local experts or form your own company and employ people, or have a strong local partner that will basically cover the disadvantages that you have of not being there. Without that, it's really, really tough. And without that, we are coming back to those 1% of foreign companies that are winning the public procurement. So it's doable, it's feasible, but it's not easy. It takes preparation. It takes learning and getting a lot of knowledge about the country itself. And if it's possible, it needs for companies to be there. The other part of the issue or of the topic is basically the position of subcontractors. And this is where it's easier, especially again if you have local contacts and local partners, is easier for EU companies to go in, especially SMEs. So for an SME to come and to start to work on public procurement projects in Serbia, it's much easier to go in with local partner as a subcontractor, as a part of joint tendering and joint competition. And this would be also a great first step in approaching Serbian market from the SMEs. Larger companies, we know that they have their own models, their own way of doing things, and many larger companies already have their own presence on Serbian market, so they very often know of these tips and tricks that we are trying to present for the SMEs.
But is the Serbian market welcoming of foreign companies, or are local companies open to partners to tender with? Or is it just like, oh, it's a foreign company, we might as well take a local company and keep the foreign companies out?
Well, I would say that the market could be more welcoming. Could be more welcoming. And this is, again, where we go back to having local partners. If local partner will have you as a subcontractor or as someone who they will push and they will use their own strength of the local market, then it's easy. If you go alone, it's not easy. Sometimes it's even impossible, which in the end would make us conclude that it's not really welcoming if you go in as a on your own in approaching Serbian market. That way it seems that it's, I wouldn't say impossible, it's possible, but it's very tough, it's very hard. And if you are really an outsider coming in, whatever your references are, whatever your capacities are and your knowledge is, or references abroad, they are not going to make a lot of noise, and they will not be worth a lot without already having someone on the ground. Which means if you're a foreigner coming in with no previous contacts, it's very hard. So yeah, in the end, after listening to myself now, I have to say it's not really welcoming to foreign companies in that sense.
Yeah, but then again, no market is welcoming others. Like, come and do. So
What I said previously, this is what we learned on any market that we went to, be it Norway, Serbia, Japan, Vietnam. It's nothing specific for Serbia. They're just, well, we can say, I think after a couple of years in Goose, I think both of us can say that it's the same picture wherever we go, very similar position.
You said it's hard to do it alone. How much of it is in the language barrier? Can I perhaps, if I know the language, can I do it then?
Well, a language barrier, I would put it twofold. If you are aiming for the public procurement projects that are financed by, for instance, institutions like World Bank, European Investment Bank, EBRD, and so on, then there is no issue. There is no issue because everything is and has to be prepared in English as well. On the other hand, if you have public procurement projects and tendering from the national and local side without involvement of international institutions, then very often it's purely and only in Serbian. Which, coming from Croatia, for us it's not an issue because it's almost the same language. Only they use Cyrillics and we use Latin letters, but it's not really an issue. And for other foreign companies looking for English, It will be enough for you to have anyone local on the ground, and you will have English, you will have translation settled, because the rate of people that speak English in Serbia is quite high, one of the highest, I think, in Europe. But then again, coming back to the previous question, you have to have someone on the ground, and then there will be no issues. But if you don't have anyone on the ground, and if you are dealing with public procurement projects yourself, very often on national local level without involvement of international institutions, then you have an issue, because it will be in Serbian and it will be in Cyrillic. And then, of course, today with AI, you can translate everything. But again, the devil is in the details. As these are a lot of rules, legislation, it's not really smart to go that way, because in legal sense, it's very easy to fall into certain traps, which after you go deep into it, it's very hard to rectify and go back.
What challenges do foreign companies face when participating in Serbian procurements, and how can those challenges be overcome?
The biggest challenge is knowing the local people who will help you and who will basically guide you through challenges and issues that are not foreseeable or that are not easy to identify. Because what is written on the paper and what is in legislation is quite clear. But when you get to the ground level, and when you get really when you get into it, then you will see a lot of things and a lot of issues that are on operational side, and that are sometimes even bigger than those stemming from the legislation itself. So knowing people, knowing the competition, knowing how to react on during the tendering procedure, how to secure that your tendering documents are not declined because of some formal and bureaucratic issues and mistakes. These are all small things that can completely determine your position in the tendering process. And then again, this all comes down to knowing people, knowing what is the situation on the ground level and how to deal with it. I would say if you go in blind and if you go in just looking at the procedures and formal rules, it will not be enough. You have to know tips and tricks, and in that way you have to be reliant on local consultants and local experts to deal with it. And again, the best way is to have, at least for the first couple of tries in tendering, have local partner that knows all these issues, that knows all these tips and tricks. Without that, companies will just have a lot of headaches. They will use a lot of and spend a lot of energy, time, manpower, and in the end, it will finish up as a frustration because all of these small unforeseeable things. So go in, have a local partner, make it easier for yourself, because otherwise it's almost impossible, and it's very hard to get into, for especially SMEs. So this is maybe what is also a big challenge for SMEs. SMEs are focused on smaller valued public tenders. So they're not small, but they're smaller when compared to biggest projects in Serbia. These smaller projects can be found on municipal level, on local level, so not on national level, which brings us to the position of having tenders which are governed by municipalities, where you don't have unified approach from municipalities. They have quite a leeway and freedom of having the tenders in their own way. So every municipality can have their own practical and operational rules. The rules in the legislation are the same, but every municipality has some leeway and they are using it. And there is no real English language in municipalities, so they are not obliged to have everything in English, which makes it harder for SMEs to adapt. So in terms of SMEs, this would be the biggest issue: how to overcome the language barrier, how to overcome the lack of knowledge of every municipality and way of their of doing business from their side, and again the need to have someone down there in order to basically relieve you of the headache and frustration that may arise from participating in public tendering in Serbia.
So the main advice here is go find yourself a partner, get yourself consultants if you can find a partner, and then enter the market and try to enter the market.
Yes, well, it's another generator of consultancy businesses, same as EU funding, same as GDPR, same as ESG. Public procurement is also basically generating the need for companies to outsource, because there is no way that SME in Europe can have knowledge of all public procurement procedures in every country, especially the countries outside of EU. So this is the best way. Sometimes I know that it can seem costly, but do your research, get the knowledge of the references of local consultants, and choose the right one, and then it will be much, much easier and in the end fruitful for the business.
How can I find those tenders? Is there a joint website or?
Yes, there is. There is electronic procurement portal where you can apply for public tenders. You can even form the joint tendering with your partners as well. So it's all available online. Again, some language issues are present in that aspect as well, but at least there you can see what's on offer, what are the projects that you can apply, and at least you can identify what is of the most interest to you and your company. So, but again, after you identify, also look into these minor details that can be crucial in the process of tendering itself.
What sectors would you suggest to enter the Serbian market today?
Well, today, e-health and ICT. ICT because it's horizontal. ICT can be present and can be active in all of these topics and sectors that we covered through GOOS, but basically in every sector today, because everything needs digitalization, automation, and modernization. So ICT is a horizontal one, but e-health is also quite strong. And of course, infrastructure is always extremely present in public procurement, be it construction, development, or traffic and IT infrastructure. These are the projects that I would go into, and maybe also water management and waste management. Serbia is still a couple of years behind EU. EU already developed a lot of these projects and infrastructure, but Serbia is on the brink of developing it much, much stronger in the next couple of years. And this is where the most of the opportunities will arise.
Thank you, Marko, for this quick insight into Serbian markets.
Thank you, Kaur. It's been a pleasure, as always.